No, I'm teasing. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 38. Genesis chapter 38, and when you found it, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Aren't you grateful for air conditioning? This summer at our church, the pastor and I made an executive decision and decided to do casual summer Sundays. And so we've been in jeans and dress shirts, or and Pastor Shabalo's brother sent me a text message this morning saying, "It's a beautiful day to dress casual." And I responded back, because he knew I was going to be in a suit. I responded back, "Shut up." And but it's so good to see each and every one of you. You look so nice today. When you found it, say amen. Genesis chapter 38. And message is coming from the entire chapter, but for the sake of time, I want to go to verse number 27. "And it came to pass in the time of her travail that, behold, twins were in her womb. And it came to pass when she travailed that the one put out his hand, and the midwife took and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread, saying, this one came out first." Everyone say first. "And it came to pass as he drew back his hand that, behold, his brother came out. And she said, how hast thou broken forth? This breach be upon thee. Therefore his name was called Perez." Reading verse 29 again. "And it came to pass as he drew back his hand that, behold, his brother came out. And she said, how hast thou broken forth? This breach be upon thee. Therefore his name was called Perez." Father, I just thank you so much for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Your word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing and dividing bone and marrow, soul and spirit. Your word is awesome, God. And we pray this morning that you will speak to us through your word. Anoint my mind, my ears, and my heart to be attentive to the leading of your spirit. Anoint my lips to speak forth your word with power and authority and clarity. Anoint the hearts and minds and ears of those who are listening, that they might receive your word, that faith might be built into their hearts, that they might be changed and transformed by the power of your word. Father, I ask you to have your way. Let Derek Brown decrease, but let Christ increase. And last of all, Father, let your name be glorified. Let your church be edified. And let the devil be horrified. I pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, the birthing of a breakthrough. The birthing of a breakthrough. You know, we just read the story of the birthing of Perez. And Perez in the Hebrew literally means a breakthrough, a breach, a breakthrough. You know, in life, sometimes we tend to get stuck in a rut. Amen? I mean, I know we're Pentecostal, charismatics. I know we're faith people. I know we're Holy Ghost people. But every now and then, we tend to get stuck into a holding pattern, to use a flying term. We get stuck in a holding pattern where it seems like we're not going anywhere. We're not making any progress. And we wonder just how long we're going to be there. Have you ever felt stuck? Have you ever felt like you've been spinning your wheels? Have you ever been in a place in life where you feel like you can't move forward, you can't go backwards, you can't go right or left? You're just standing there marking time, waiting for something to happen. It is those times in our lives where we need a breakthrough to occur so that we can go from where we are to where God desires us to be. Hallelujah. God is the God of the breakthrough. And God desires not for us to be marking time and not for us to be in a place where we're in a rut, but God desires us to experience breakthrough after breakthrough so that we can go forward into what God has called us to be. Amen. The birthing of a breakthrough. This story is the story of Tamar, the daughter-in-law of Judah. Back in verse 1, we read about how Judah had taken his oldest son, Ur. And the Bible says that Ur took to his wife, Tamar. She became Judah's daughter-in-law. And the Bible says that Ur was wicked in the eyes of the Lord. And because Ur was wicked, the Lord struck him down. And Ur had no children. So Ur's brother, Onan, came into the picture. Onan was wicked in the eyes of the Lord. He knew that any children that he had with her would not be credited to him. So he did the unthinkable and refused to bear children with her. God struck him down. Then Judah sent her away. She was stuck in a rut. She was marking time, hoping that the third son would become old enough for her to marry. There she was, stuck in a rut, just like we are sometimes in life. She needed an answer. She needed a breakthrough. She needed something to come along into her life that would cause her to go from being in a rut to coming out of that rut and actually being fruitful in her life. Some of us need that extra push. We need that extra oomph in our life to help us to get out of the rut and get into a place of breakthrough. Well, you might say, well, Pastor Derek, how can I birth a breakthrough? I'm glad you asked me. Let me tell you. And let me preface this. I just want to say this. Bear with me, because this is not an easy message to preach. I might say some things that might be just a little bit edgy, but love me. But we love each other. Amen. We're talking about the birthing of a breakthrough. And I want to talk to you about the process of birthing a breakthrough. And I want to talk to you about the fertilization, the gestation, and the culmination of the breakthrough. For those of you that aren't married and never had children, those are pregnancy terms. Amen. Fertilization, gestation, and culmination of the breakthrough. First of all, the fertilization of the breakthrough. The fertilization of the breakthrough. The story of Tamar is this. She had been with Ur. Ur could not produce a breakthrough in her life. She had been with Onan. Onan could not produce. Shelah was not given to her. And she was stuck in the rut. But then one day the Bible says in verse 12. And in the process of time, the daughters of Shua, Judah's wife, died. And Judah was comforted and went unto the sheep shearers of Timnath. He and his friend Hurah, the Adumelite. And it was told Tamar, saying, behold, thy father-in-law goeth unto Timnath to shear his sheep. And she put her widow garments off of her, covered her face with a veil, wrapped herself, and sat in the open place, which was in the way to Timnath. For she saw that Shelah was grown, and he was not given unto her. When Judah saw her, he thought her to be a harlot, because she had covered her face. And he turned unto her by the way, and said, go to, I pray thee, and let me come in unto thee. For he knew not that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, what wilt thou give me, that thou mayest come into me? He said, I will send thee a kid from the flock. She said, wilt thou give me a pledge till thou send it? And he said, what pledge shall I give thee? And she said, thy signet, thy bracelet, thy staff that is in thy hand. And he gave it to her and came in unto her, and she conceived by him. You know, the Bible is not always clean. There's some stuff that happens in the Bible that's not quite kosher. Come on, somebody. David and Bathsheba. Samson and Delilah, Judah and Tamar. The Bible has some stuff in there. Look, you don't need soap operas. Come on, somebody. You just open up your Bible, you'll read some stuff in the Bible that will sit there and make you shake your head. The Bible says she conceived by Judah. I want you to understand something about birth and the breakthrough. The process that she had gone through. She had been with Ur. Ur could not do it. She had been with Onan. Onan could not do it. Shelah was not made available to her. But through Judah, she conceived. Ur, in the Bible, in the Hebrew, Ur means watchful. Ur means watchful. In order to conceive, you must have some intimacy. Paul said that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his sufferings. That word know in the Greek is the word gnosko. It does not mean a head knowledge. That word means an intimate knowledge. I'm talking about birthing a breakthrough. You cannot birth something without first experiencing intimacy. I'm glad all the kids are at Children's Church. You must have it. See, that word know, gnosko, means an intimate knowledge. It's the same word that was used by Matthew when it said, and Joseph knew not Mary till after Jesus had been born. We would call it today carnal knowledge. But it's an intimate, it's the knowledge of a husband and a wife. Nobody knows you like your spouse because there's an intimacy that is not experienced or should not be experienced with anybody else. It requires, the Bible says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. It's the truth that you're intimate with that sets you free. It's an intimacy with God. Oh, how I love Jesus because he first loved me. The song says, and he walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me that I am his own. Oh, you remember when you were first in love. Come on, somebody. My wife and I will be married 13 years next month. Both of us went to Zion. I dated her when she was on staff, so the rules wouldn't apply to me. Come on, somebody. But her and I, you know, in those days we had 10:30 curfew. Y'all still have curfew? 11? Good Lord, the slacking. So her and I, we'd be walking towards my dorm for 10:30 curfew. We'd be looking at each other, just smiling, goo-goo eyes, we in love. And then we say goodnight right at 10:30. I'd rush up the stairs before the dorm director got a hold of me being late. And I would not be in my room not 5 minutes when all of a sudden I hear the phone down the hall ring and I would smile because I knew it was her. And I'd be on that phone to 2:30 in the morning with the 7:30 class. Come on. But I would just sit there and we wouldn't even say nothing. We just listen to each other breathe. Come on, somebody. If you don't know about this, you ain't never been in love. Come on. Love will make you just want to be with that person. Even if it's on the phone, you won't even say nothing. You just want to be there. You just love me, making you, I just love you so much. You hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. You just want to be with them. You just want to be around them. I can't stand being away from my wife and kids. I love them so much. I just want to be with them all the time. You know, when you have intimacy with Jesus, you just want to be with him. There's an old song that says, I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. Hallelujah. That's how I feel about Jesus. It's an intimacy between you and God. that must take place before you could ever birth a breakthrough in your life. But see, at first, Tamar was looking for love in all the wrong places. Come on, somebody. Because first of all, the Bible says she went to Ur. Ur means watchful. Ur means watchful. Now y'all pray for me. I said, it's not going to be easy. I just want to say this. You cannot experience a conception, a fertilization by watching somebody. Oh, come on, somebody. You can get arrested. But you cannot experience the break. You cannot birth it. Being watchful in church will never produce anything in your life. Come on, somebody. Sitting back watching the others worship. Sitting back and watching the others read their word. Sitting back and watching the others get involved will never. God has not called you to be a spectator in the house of God. A watchful person will never experience a breakthrough. You can't get it by watching. Oh, we just like to sit back. What's everybody doing? What? You know, I don't know about now, but back in my day, the Solomon at Zion used to sit back and just watch everybody. They'd be sitting at the board just watching everybody worship. And the way we knew that God was really moving was when the sound guys would start dancing. We'd say, oh, the sound guys are dancing? Oh, we know they're really moving now. God's really moving. Watching won't get you anything. Some people want to treat the house of God like it's a spectator sport. Sitting back, watching everybody else get blessed, watching everybody else move in the spirit, watching everybody else operate in the gifts, and you're wondering the whole time, where's my breakthrough? You'll never get it by being watchful. You must step into it. Get involved in it. Watchfulness won't get you anything. You know what watchful people do? They criticize. I wrote a post online the other day. I said, I'm so tired of the only gift being an operation in the church being the gift of criticism. Come on. Looking at everybody else. So look at what they're doing. That's not the Holy Ghost. Look at the, see, they messed up. I knew it wasn't God. Stop watching everybody else. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Hallelujah. Look full on his wonderful face, and the things of this world will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Watchfulness will not cause you to conceive. It will not make you fertile. It'll leave you empty like Tamar was left empty by Ur. Then she went on to Onan. Onan means strong. Onan means strong, strapping. I imagine Onan looked like a linebacker. Studly. Muscles coming out of everywhere. Sometimes we want to attach ourselves to somebody who appears strong. We think doing it in our own strength will do something for us. Come on. I'm going to get a breakthrough, but I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to get a breakthrough, but I'm going to do it in my strength. I want to tell you something. No matter how much willpower you have, you will not experience a breakthrough. The Bible says it clearly in Zechariah 4:6. Thus saith the Lord, is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. You can't get a breakthrough in your own strength, in your own power, no matter how strong you think you are, how spiritual you might think you are. It's not in your ability to drum up yourself and strengthen yourself. It's only in the strength provided by him. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. The Bible says the weak, the race not to the strong, nor to the swift, but to him that endureth unto the end. You see, there comes a day when your own strength will fail, when your own abilities will cease to exist. Isaiah said in Isaiah 40, he said, even the young shall grow weary and lose strength. He says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Hallelujah. Being strong in yourself won't accomplish anything. That's why Paul tells us, be strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. In the power of his might. in Ephesians chapter 6. Then she was hoping for Sheila. Sheila means borrowed or loaned. You see, you can't be fertilized for a breakthrough by borrowing somebody else's experience. Oh, come on. Just because mama and daddy were saved, come on, somebody. Just because grandma was a prayer warrior does not mean that you yourself are going to have a breakthrough. I can't borrow from your experience. You can't borrow from mine. We've got to experience the breakthrough for ourselves. We cannot go on somebody else's coattails. I see it all the time. People running around trying to hang out with folks that are considered spiritual. Trying to rub up off of them to get something off of them. Come on. Hoping it'll rub off. You've got to know Jesus for yourself. You gotta be praying for yourself. You gotta know the word for yourself. You have to worship God yourself. You gotta do it yourself. You cannot borrow from somebody else that which God has done in them. You must experience it for yourself. I don't want a hand-me-down revival. Come on, somebody. I don't want to hand me down Holy Ghost. I want to experience it for myself. I want to know for myself that God heals. I want to know for myself that Jesus saves. I want to know for myself that there's power in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I want to know for myself that there's deliverance in the name of Jesus. I want to know for myself that God answers prayer. It's not enough to have somebody else tell me. I don't want Sheila. I don't want to borrow from you. I want to have it for myself. When Peter and John stood at the gate beautiful with the man that was lame, Peter did not say, silver and gold have I none, but that which I borrowed. He said, silver and gold have I none, but that which I have give I unto you. In other words, I have it for myself. Somebody else didn't give it to me. It's mine. Hallelujah. It wasn't until she was intimate with Judah that she conceived and was fertilized. Judah means praise. I'm so thankful for the worship that we had this morning, brother. Praise the Lord. He led us into God's presence. You see, it's people that worship. Worship and praise is the beginning of a breakthrough. I had this professor at Zion. I'll go say no names because we got Zion students here. I had this professor at Zion, and I don't know what it was, but this professor just, he didn't like me for some reason. I don't know why. I don't know what I did, what I said, what he saw. I don't know what it was, but he just, for some reason, didn't like me. Couldn't figure it out. And sometimes he would go out of his way just to make a remark that would just, you know, get my flesh going. You know, just, you know, make me want to bless him with two hands, you know. Yeah. Lay hands on him fast, hard, and repeatedly in Jesus' name. And I remember this one day I'm coming out of a chapel service and the Holy Ghost moved and I was feeling wonderful. I was feeling awesome. Oh, praise God, I'm coming out. And I remember I was walking down and I had my tie just loosened just a little bit. You know, just that's in the days when I wore ties. I don't wear them no more. Praise God, I've been set free. Hallelujah. But I remember I just had it loosened by just about an inch and had the top button unbuttoned and I was walking down the pathway towards the dining commons and all of a sudden he walked past me and said, you need to fix your tie, what's wrong with you? And I felt all that joy, all that happiness, all that Holy Ghost I had just received in chapel just drained right out of me. I looked at him like, boy, Jesus is saving your life right now. You have no idea. Jesus is saving your life. And I could have got fleshly. I could have got all, you know, I'm a preacher's kid. I could have lost my sanctification. Come on, somebody. But instead, I ran up to my room. I had a tape. That's when we had cassette tapes. You know, y'all don't know about that, but we had cassette tapes. And I put that tape in with Shambach Praise. Come on. And they had the 10th meeting of R.W. Shambach. All their praise music. I put that thing in there and grabbed my tambourine and just started playing and shouting and rejoicing. And all that angst that the devil tried to throw on me just rolled on off of me. Hallelujah. And I was feeling the glory of God again in my life. Praise God. You see, it comes through praise. It comes through worship. If you're ever going to have a breakthrough in your life, you need to be a person of worship. You need to be a person of praise. You need to be somebody that knows how to give a sacrifice of praise for the fruit of your lips. That's what helps to fertilize a breakthrough in your life. Listen, we're not singing songs just because we like them. We're not singing songs just because they have a nice melody. We're singing because we are worshiping the Lord God Almighty. And as the praises of God go up, the blessings come on down. God inhabits our praises. And as we worship Him and as we glorify Him, His presence comes down and blesses us and ministers to us in a very real way. I remember in 1993, my older brother was involved in a hit-and-run accident. It was a Sunday morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. He was riding his bike to go to church, to pick up the church van, to pick up kids for Sunday school. While he was riding his bike down the road, somebody took him out. My dad was in California at the time. He called me up and said, son, you need to go to the hospital. They say your brother's not going to make it. I can't get home till Wednesday. So I went to the hospital. And there was my brother lying in the bed. I was 19 years old. I'm looking at my older brother laying there. Tubes in his nose, tubes in, going down his throat. You know, IVs and all the arms and legs and all the monitors are on him. And everything's beeping. And I'm looking at my brother laying there. A tear rolled out of my eye. And the enemy came and said, look at this. Why didn't God protect him? How can you serve a God like that? How can you love a God like that? Look at your brother laying there on his way to church to get the van to pick up kids for Sunday school. Look what God let happen. I sat back. I said, devil, you are a liar. In the hospital room, I stood there and I raised my hands and I began to sing. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. The presence of God began to flood into that room. The doctors and nurses were looking at me like I was crazy, but I just kept on singing. Take joy, my King, in what you hear, let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ears. And the glory and the presence of God just flooded that room and saturated my being. The doctors got quiet. The nurses got quiet. And I just continued to worship God in that hospital room with my brother laying there dying. The enemy thought he had a victory that day. But through worship, I was able to experience the breakthrough that God desired. My brother went home to be with the Lord in glory. But I kept on worshiping the Lord. Hallelujah. Intimacy with praise. Intimacy with worship. You know, and listen, worship is not a Sunday morning thing. Come on. You know, I'll be driving down the road. Hallelujah. With a praise CD in. And just worshiping God. You know who showed me that worship was an everyday thing? My Aunt Josephine. I remember one time we were down in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, visiting family. My Aunt Josephine is one of those people that she loves to shout. You know, she gets into, she dances. She's a dancer. You know, before that, I used to just think that people that dance in church, well, you know, they just being emotional. They're just dancing. You know, it's just, they like the music. But I remember we're driving down the road. I'm 10 years old in the car with her, just me and her. She's listening to some fast church music, and I mean, I don't know if you know the kind of music I'm talking about, but you know how they show a black church on TV or in the movies, and they got the, and the music's going, and they're shouting. That is that kind of music. And my Aunt Josephine's listening to it, and she's, you know, her foot's going on that gas pedal. I hate to say it, I now have the same habit, hallelujah. But we pull up to a light, and it's red. My Aunt Josephine jumped out of the car and said, light turned green, she jumped back in, and off we went. I said, my goodness, this just ain't a Sunday thing for her. This is an all-the-time thing for her. She can catch the Holy Ghost anywhere. I don't care where she is. She can catch the Holy Ghost. Because she's a worshiper. Worship is a lifestyle. It fertilizes you for the breakthrough. Secondly, the gestation. The gestation of the breakthrough. You see, anyone that's been married and has children, you know, it doesn't happen all at once. Come on, somebody. You gotta wait. I remember when my wife got pregnant with our oldest, it seemed like it was gonna take forever. Especially since her end of her first trimester, beginning of her second trimester was in the summer. We lived in the Washington, D.C. area. I'm talking about 3 straight months of 90-plus weather with no relief. And here's my poor wife. Can't the air condition go any lower? Baby, get me some ice. And you're just waiting. But it's exciting. You ever have God speak something to you in your life that he's going to do for you and you get excited? It's not here yet, but you're excited about it. Oh, come on, woman. You know how you get when you that have had babies. You know how you get. You start rubbing your belly. Come on. You might only be 7 weeks along. You're not even showing, but you're rubbing your. Come on. Something's on working on the inside. Come on. Something is growing on the inside of you. And you 7 weeks along, you just saw one little sonogram with a little peanut in it, but you rubbing your belly like you 8 months along. Come on. Cause you're expecting. You're excited. And that's the word that they use for it, expecting. Come on. When you come into God's house, you should come in expecting. Come on, somebody. Come in, I'm believing God to do something in me today. I'm believing God to speak into my life today. I'm believing God to heal me today. I'm believing God to save my children today. I'm believing for this day, my daily bread. I'm expecting. The man at the gate, beautiful, said when Peter and John said, look on us, said he looked at them expecting to receive something. Rob Posner, the pastor of World Harvest Church, said it this way. He said, the atmosphere of expectancy is the breeding ground of miracles. Come on, somebody. In other words, as you expect in faith, God will do a miracle in your life. Come on. But there's a waiting process. There's a waiting period. It doesn't always happen all at once. And we have to be careful that we don't abort our breakthrough before God is ready to deliver it. Oh, come on, somebody. Not everybody was happy that Tamar was pregnant. In fact, Judah became quite wroth with her. When the word came to him 3 months later, Tamar is with child. He wanted to take her out, charge her, and stone her. Not everybody's happy about what God is doing in your life. And you have to be careful lest they do something or speak something to you that will cause you to abort your breakthrough. Believe it or not, there are some people in church who are happy with you being exactly in the rut that you're in because it makes them feel better about themselves. They like you being dependent on them. They like you. I'm just going to say it. I'm just a very real preacher. It's kind of like that girl who doesn't feel too good about how she looks. so she gets a couple of friends who look worse than she does. Come on, somebody. So she could be the prettier one in the crowd. You got some people in church whose lives aren't exactly where they should be, but they want you to be worse than them and stay there so they can feel good about themselves. They'll abort your breakthrough. You know, when going along with the pregnancy analogy, you have to nourish it. You have to nourish your breakthrough. How do you do that, Pastor Derek? I'm glad you asked me. You see, the word will nourish your breakthrough. Paul said faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As you sit there and take in the word, you are nourishing the spiritual man. You are nourishing the innermost being. You are nourishing that breakthrough. You are preparing it. You are giving it strength. Hallelujah. And here she is. She's carrying the breakthrough, nourishing it, eating properly, doing all the right things. It's the gestation period, and it's growing the whole time. As you're waiting upon it, it's growing. Some of you right now, you've been waiting on God a long time. I'm here to tell you, your breakthrough is growing. Your breakthrough is growing. That miracle you've been believing God for, that financial breakthrough that you need, that thing that you need in your life or in your family, you might not be seeing it right now, but it is growing on the inside. Every now and then, it'll give you a kick. Come on, somebody. You'll be in a service and you hear a message that speaks right to what you're waiting on God for. Hallelujah. Someone will come up to you and begin to pray with you and give you a word that confirms what God spoke to you. And you feel a little kick. It's gestating. It is growing. It is getting ready for the day of its arrival. Hallelujah. You might be waiting upon it, but wait. Habakkuk says, write the vision down and make it plain that they that run may read it. For the vision is for a certain time. He said, though it tarry, wait for it, for it shall not tarry. It shall come to pass. Every single promise that God has made for your life will come to pass if you wait. If you jump the gun too early, you're in danger of aborting it. But if you wait, God will see it through. Pastor, how do you know that? How do I know it? As I read back through the Bible, I see every single person God's ever made a promise to. Do you think after all the miracles, after all the promises, after all the work that God has done, do you honestly believe that God will mess up his reputation on us? I don't think so. And the child grew. It got bigger, got stronger, became more viable. Other people start rejoicing with you the closer you get to your breakthrough. You know, husbands, you know how we are for the first few months. We really don't react too much to it. Oh, yeah, okay, pregnant. Yeah, okay, good. Go to doctor's appointments. But then once she starts showing, things change. Come on, husbands. We start carrying everything for them. I wouldn't let my wife carry nothing. Baby, let me get that for you. Baby, I got that. Don't touch that. I'll move it. Let me do it. Rubbing her feet. You know your husband never rubbed your feet before in your life. All of a sudden, he's rubbing your feet. We'll go out at 11:30 at night to get you bananas. Come on, somebody. I still don't understand it, but we do it. Become more supportive. Become more encouraged. Getting more involved. Listening to the belly. Talking to the belly. It all happens when she starts showing. See, there comes a point as you're gestating your breakthrough where it begins to start showing in your life. Yeah, women get that glow that y'all get. People begin to look at you and say, I don't know what it is. But something's happening in your life. I don't know. I don't understand it. I don't comprehend it. But I see God is at work. You haven't quite got there yet, but I can see something going on the inside of you. I can see something happening on the inside. I tell people it's Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. They can see. You begin to show. You know, you're glowing under the glory of God. You can see the growth of the fruits of the Spirit begin to take place in your life. People begin to recognize in you something that God is working in your life. You're showing. Hallelujah. Well, touch somebody, tell them, I'm showing. I'm showing. Hallelujah. You start glowing with the glory of God. Hallelujah. Because your breakthrough is almost here. Come on, somebody. The gestation. Lastly, the culmination. The culmination. Verse 27. And it came to pass in the time of her travail that, behold, twins were in her womb. And it came to pass when she travailed that the one put out his hand, the midwife took it and bound his hand with a scarlet thread and saying, this came out first. And it came to pass that he drew back his hand, that behold, his brother came out. And she said, how hast thou broken forth? This breach be upon thee. Therefore his name was called Phares. And it says, and afterwards out came his brother that had the scarlet thread upon his hand, and his name was called Zara. It said, and suddenly the time of her travail had come. So the culmination of the breakthrough, the birthing of it. This is the moment you've been waiting for. And you know what's so awesome about it is it comes when you least expect it. Oh, come on. Everything in the spiritual has a reflection in the natural. It comes when you least expect it. You see, I remember with my oldest one, my daughter, Elena, the night of January 1st, we were up, time of contractions. No, and it's too erratic. Let's go to bed. Next night, January 2nd, my wife, oh, I'm feeling all this contraction. Okay, let's time them. Up until 1 o'clock in the morning. No, baby. It's erratic. It's false labor. Let's go to bed. Right to sleep. Night of the 3rd. I'm still feeling these contractions. I stopped timing them. I said, baby, they're just all over the place. Let's just go to sleep. Right to sleep. I remember I had this dream where she did something that got me mad. You know how it is when you have, come on, people, when you're married folks, when you dream your spouse got you mad, and then you wake up right away, you're still mad at them? Be honest, I ain't the only one. I had this dream where she made me mad. I was mad at her in the dream. 4:30 in the morning. Honey, I think something's happening. I said, uh-huh. Yep. She said, honey, I think something's going on. Yeah, that's nice. And she said, honey, I think my water broke. I sat up in bed. I said, who, what, where, how, why? And I started feeling the bed because I wanted to make sure it wasn't coming over on my side. But it was unexpected. Next thing you know, I mean, it just, her water, at first it was a trickle, but then it just broke. We got the suitcases. We got her mother up this time. The baby's coming. Let's go. We're on our way to the hospital. It was unexpected. You know, it's the times when you least expect. Come on, somebody. When you're not even, when you've been waiting so long, you think the day's never gonna come. Now all of a sudden here comes your breakthrough. The time of travail has come. The time of travail. We got to the hospital. They got her in the room, got her all checked in. And then all of a sudden, later on that night came time to push. It's called time of travail. Sometimes the hardest time that you have to go through is right before you birth your breakthrough. Sometimes that's the greatest struggle. Have you ever prayed for something and believed God for something only to have it get worse before it ever got better? Come on. Sometimes it's that travailing time. It's painful. It's painful. I've never seen such pain in my life. They never warned me how hot that maternity room is. It was the middle of January, so I had a t-shirt, an undershirt, and a sweater. So I had a choice, either wear the sweater and sweat to death or take it off and be in that maternity room in my t-shirt. So I took it off and stood there in a t-shirt. And I remember as I was watching the monitor and one contraction hit, my wife grabbed me by the shirt and began to pull me in with this wild look in her eye. And I pulled back. I said, what you want? Let me warn you, single guys, and you guys that haven't been fathers yet, they might slug you because it hurts so bad. I said, baby, what you want? She said, I just want you near me. I said, why? But it was painful. She told every doctor, I want the epidural. I don't want to feel nothing. But even with the epidural, she was still, ooh. Sometimes right before you have your breakthrough, it might be painful. You might go through the biggest heartache, the biggest hurt, the most devastating thing you've ever had to face. You'll be in pain. But listen, if you're ever going to have that breakthrough, you need to push. What did the doctor tell you? Come on, ladies, he told you push. You were in pain, but you had to push. P-U-S-H. Pray until something happens. Oh, come on. You're hurting, but you're praying. You're in agony, but you're calling on Jesus. You don't know if you're going to make it. It hurts so bad, but you're calling on the name above every name. You're calling on the one that has all the answers. You're looking to the hills for what's coming to your help, and the help coming from the Lord. Hallelujah. And you just push. You pray. You push. You travail, and you pray until something happens. If you don't push, your breakthrough won't make it. But if you hold on to God's unchanging hand and pray till something happens, God will give you your breakthrough. Keep on pushing. Oh, you don't understand how much it hurts. Pray. You don't understand the agony I'm going through. Keep on praying. You don't understand how bad they're treating me. Pray until God does something. Hosea was talking about God raining righteousness upon the nation of Israel. And he told them this. He said, it is time to seek the Lord till he comes. Beloved, it's time to seek God till he comes. Pray until he shows up in your situation. Pray until he shows up in the midst of your trial. Pray until he shows up at your job. Pray until he shows up in your home. Pray until he shows up in your son or daughter's prison cell. Pray till God shows up. Pray till something happens. I'm going to pray. I'm going to push. I'm going to travail. I'm going to hold on until God sends the answer. Pray until something happens. Push. And the Bible says that a hand popped out. They put a scarlet cord on it. And it pulled back in. They didn't know that there were two of them in there. They put the scarlet cord on his arm, signifying that's the first one. That's Zara. That's what's coming out first. That's the firstborn. You see, some people will get discouraged at this very moment because somebody made it across the finish line before you did. You know, sometimes at Zion, I used to get frustrated. I was working my way through college. And I was working 35 hours a week, paying my bill, trying to pay my bill so the finance committee wouldn't be chasing me down and finding out where I was. You know, they didn't want to be hunted. So I was working 35 hours a week, paying my bill. We didn't have student loans in those days. And I remember I was sitting there, and I was doing my best, working all these hours. And I would see people went up on the platform during a testimony time. I just want to praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, I went to my mailbox the other day, and there was a check in there for $5,000. Praise God, my whole year's paid off. I said, Lord, I'm pushing carriages at the supermarket. Lord, I'm on my feet 6 hours every night. Why do they get to cross the line first? Lord, I could use $5,000. Hello, Jesus. Remember me, my mailbox is number 152 in case you... That's the place where some people will get the most discouraged. Because God came through for somebody else before he came through with you. I imagine, now this is not the King James, but this is the Derrick Brown version. I imagine Zara getting that call, pulling it in and going, uh-huh, look at me. I'm the firstborn. Look at me. I got the recognition. Look at me. Zara means rising light or rising star or shining star. In other words, I'm a little star. Look, everybody loves me. Look at this. I'm first. You're second best. I'm in first place, not you. I have the recognition. You don't. I'm getting praised by everybody. You're not. Look at me. Got my little red cord. Isn't that wonderful? And it would have been real easy for Perez just to sit back and say, okay, you're first. But oh, no, 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 no. Perez said, you might got the cord, but you ain't going to be first. Excuse me. Pushed Zara aside, and he came on out. Oh, hear me, beloved. You might feel like God's second child sometimes. You might feel like the red-headed child in God's family. You might think that everybody else is getting blessed, everybody else is getting touched, everybody else is getting everything, and you're just sitting back there waiting for yours, but I'm here to tell you, just break on out in spite of what everything else is happening. Tell them you ain't gonna hold me back. You ain't gonna keep me from my breakthrough. Just because you got yours on me, I won't get mine. I'm still believing God. I'm still trusting God. I'm still pressing on. I'm still pressing through. I'm believing God. Even though you might get everything handed to you, I'm still gonna believe God for mine. He broke out. Let somebody else get the recognition. I'm still gonna have my breakthrough. Let somebody else get all the praise and glory. I'm still going to have my breakthrough. Let somebody else get all the accolades and all the honors and all the positions and all that man could have to offer. I'm still going to have my breakthrough. Move out the way, Zara. I'm coming on through to my breakthrough. And look at the reaction of the nurse. She said, hold on. How did you get out? You're not the firstborn. You don't have the scarlet thread. People are going to look at you and go, how are you doing this? How is God working this way in your life? Don't you understand? You need the connection. You need the hookup. You need to know the right people. They're going to look at you and say, you're not from the right background. You're not from the right type of family. You don't have the education. You don't have the type of finances that you should have to open up the business that you opened up. How is it that you broke through where other people could not? People will look at you and be amazed, like the nurse was amazed at Perez. They'll look at you and be amazed and say, how did you do what you did? How did you get where you're at? How is it possible? You should have been in the grave. You should have been in the gutter. You should have been in jail. But look at you. You're preaching the word. You're singing the gospel. Look at you. You're out there doing God's work. You're doing ministry. How is it that you're able to do what you do? Because I gave birth to a breakthrough. I want you to bow your heads.